Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Let us pray. Loving Father, we do ask that you would bless the reading of the Scriptures. We do pray you will minister to our hearts, Lord, this morning. Pray, Lord, you will bring those things to our attention that the Holy Spirit of God would impress upon us. And I pray, Father, that you will truly work your work of grace and mercies to us as your people, that we may be edified in like precious faith, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the salvation and hope of eternal life, which you freely give to all who call upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we have a wonderful passage. It speaks about the ministry of the gospel and of how that we together have certain experiences that we might say have led us forward in preaching Christ and in the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And so let us speak unto this matter of unto the furtherance of the gospel. Well, certainly the Apostle Paul could say this with a great deal of confirmation. As we sometimes look at the apostle as being the kind of the epitome of one who is not only sent of God to preach the word of God, for the word apostle means to be sent, but yet he is a suffering servant, not unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, who went through many sufferings, and of course his sufferings were much more for our salvation, and the sufferings of the apostle were in view of his experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so he triumphs over his sufferings by saying that all these things were for the furtherance of the gospel. Of course, he found himself in prison. He found himself suffering under certain hardships and difficulties. And as we consider that, we realize that his ministry, we would all have to say, is somewhat different than our own. Perhaps you have been involved in Christian ministry yourself, or even as a Christian, I would hope that you would realize that the experiences that God has brought your way has led you by the way of faith, and that I would pray also the things and the experiences that have happened to you have happened unto the furtherance of the gospel. Why the furtherance of the gospel? Because each of us represent someone that Christ has brought to faith in our blessed Lord and Savior. If you are a believer this morning, then you know what that means to you, to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And those certain trials and sufferings which you have suffered, they have come about in your life and brought you forward, that you may say also unto the furtherance of the gospel, these things have worked the work of God in my life. Well, let us just look at verse 12 and following here. He says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Well, first of all, let us just say that Paul didn't have any bad experiences that he wished he had not happened to him. He did go through a number of different sufferings, of course, whether they be prison or whether they be being beaten or thrown out of a town or a city or being shipwrecked or some of the other kinds of things that happened to him. But in the world, of course, people say, well, I wish such and such hadn't happened to me, that I hadn't had this accident or I hadn't had that trial. Or they may even question and say, why did God allow this into my life? And there may be things which have physically happened to people and they kind of bemoan those things. But as the Apostle Paul had certain things that happened to him, he says that these things happened unto the furtherance of the gospel. I guess Christian perspective does make a difference, whether or not we believe that God is involved in our life and that he is ordering the affairs of our lives. And so maybe you have gone through some things yourself. And I guess I would like to ask you, how do you look at those things that you have gone through? Or do you consider that maybe God was brought them your way for a particular reason, that you may look at those things and say that if it were not for this trial or that suffering, perhaps I would not have trusted in Christ as I have already. You see, there are many experiences that we have. And so what does Paul say? He says that these experiences which happened unto him were for the gospel's sake. Brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. As we read on in verse 13, he says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places." Now, by the time Paul found himself in Rome, of course, he did find himself incarcerated. He was under guard by the soldiers, and perhaps he was even chained at some particular point, wherein that he might be in prison and confined. So his movements were inhibited. And he did not have his freedom, as we might say that he could have otherwise. And he says, "My bonds in Christ." Notice it's his bonds he considered to be in Christ, in Christ. And so he was looking at this from the standpoint of his relationship to Christ and how that Christ would use him. And he says, "My bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace." Well, then we would say perhaps that his influence was much greater than the prison cell that he found himself in. That the influence that he had while he was in bonds in Christ, while he was still under confinement, whether it is some kind of a house arrest situation or whether it was a little bit more confining, we find that there were people around him, and those people around him became uniquely aware of who the Apostle Paul was and of his particular plight as being an apostle of Jesus Christ, which may cause us to wonder, do other people see our lives as being in Christ? Do other people look at our lives and say, they have been consistently living for Christ? Or all of these things that they suffer, are they not suffering those things for Christ? Well, I suppose only time will tell, and we certainly do not know what other people truly think of us and what we stand for. Yet, we do know that a consistent Christian life stands for something. It is an influence, and it is a testimony and a witness for the Lord. And so we must take it under consideration how we serve the Lord and whether or not people are viewing us as being servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose one of the things that we perhaps fear most is that we might do something that would be inglorious or, in a way, take away from that testimony that we would love to say that we have for Christ. And here the Apostle Paul says that as much as he knew that his bonds in Christ were known throughout the palace, they were known throughout the whole palace, and he says in all other places, his acquaintances, his travels, the people that he came in contact with, the churches that he wrote to, what kind of testimony did the apostle have? And his testimony seemed to be one which was of a true an apostle of the Lord, a true servant of God, one who had been sent. Now, if we have anything to our credit, I suppose we could not ask much more than that. That we would be known honestly and truly for who we are as being followers of Christ, as being servants of the Lord. We don't need to accomplish great things in the sense of the world, and there may be many ambitions that people have, but the greatest thing that we can accomplish is to be a faithful servant of the Lord. Moreover, it is required of servants that they be found faithful. And so this sense of faithful servanthood was one that even the Apostle Paul took very seriously. And as an apostle, as one who was called of God, he did want the people that he was influencing around him, the people that he knew, even those who were of the world, even those that were holding him prisoner, he wanted them to know that he was truly in bonds to Christ. Not just to that person who was confining them. Rome may have considered that that they had the authority over the apostle, but I would like to tell you that that wasn't the case. That the apostle felt that he was more in bonds to Christ than he was to Rome, and that this was just another opportunity that he might preach Jesus to them. And perhaps you have heard of people such as missionaries who have been in confinement, and while they have been there, they have preached Jesus. They continue to live for Jesus. They continue to be known as a follower of Christ and to identify themselves fully and completely as such and do not shrink away from it. He goes on to say this, secondly, in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So not only did Paul consider himself to be in bonds to Christ, he went on to say, he says, even from my confinement, even from this prison house where I am being kept, he says, I am an encouragement to others who also love the Lord and want to preach Christ. And so others are becoming more confident by my bonds. It is something about suffering and martyrdom for Christ that inspires others to live up to the Christian faith much more. When we hear of people such as Richard Wurmbrand, who was held prisoner in Romania and became in a very real sense of the word, suffering for Christ and was held in confinement for many years, we find that he became a means of inspiring others who would also go and preach Christ to others, whether it be in a foreign country or whether it be in their own country. We find that many are inspired by those who stand for Christ and are willing to bear the sufferings of the gospel of Christ. And historically, we know that there have been many who have taken that particular road, which is less traveled in the sense that not many choose to go and to serve the Lord to such extremes, such as to go to India, as William Carey did, or to go to China, such as Hudson Taylor did. Yet we find that many of these Christians who have suffered for Christ greatly have been very much inspiring to others that they might go and serve the Lord as well. And I suppose in a way, we might say, Lord, may I live as a servant of Christ so others would want to go and serve the Lord because they see my life as an example of one who is a true servant of God and one who has been willing to bear the sufferings of Christ for the sake of the gospel. Would you want to say that about your own life? It might be somewhat pretentious, you know, for you to say that. And you might say, well, I wouldn't dare to say that about my life. But we never know what effect our lives might have upon someone else. As long as we stay true and faithful to the Lord. It could be that as is coined today, using the phrase role model, many people like to be good role models. But what about us as Christians? Are we being a good role model? Are we being an example that others would emulate and say, I want to be a Christian like that. I want to be someone who serves the Lord faithfully. I want to be someone who truly loves God and is known for their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus and are willing to bear certain afflictions and certain sufferings and certain labors and hardships and be known as a true servant of the Lord. But Paul had his critics, of course. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. There are always those who, for jealousy or envy or strife or something else. Sometimes pastors will become very competitive in ministry. Sometimes they look at one another and become very jealous. He's got a bigger congregation than I do. Or he serves the Lord in a different capacity. He's much more a charismatic person, or he's very popular, he's very well liked, he's on the radio, and so on and so forth. We know that there are many different kinds of situations where people might become full of jealousy or envy, and so forth. And of course, that is not a good thing. He says in verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Maybe we can take away from this this thought that the apostle, though he knew these situations existed, where there might be contention, or there might be envy, or there might be jealousy, or there might be those who were even adding to his own afflictions by their actions, he was not so much concerned about that as he was that the gospel of Christ should be preached. In other words, if there is somebody who is envious of another, should you then, as a servant of God, care whether that person is envious or jealous of you, and allow that to become distracting of your own work and servanthood for Christ? I guess the answer would be no, you shouldn't. In other words, leave that to God. God is going to deal with that person himself. He will deal with their jealousy or envy or contention or strife or whatever they're creating in their lives. It is good for us to stay focused on what God has given us to do, and not to allow the jealousy of others or the envy of others or the contention of some to somehow derail us from our true servanthood. It doesn't appear that the Apostle Paul was willing to allow any of those side issues to become a problem for him. He would continue to be the apostle that God had called him to be. Though he admittedly said he was an apostle out of due time, that is, not one of the original, yet he was called of God. And brethren, you are called. If you are called of God, then you do not need to worry about others. You need to be more concerned about your own relationship to the Lord and how God means for you to serve him, and just serve him where you are in doing the things that you know to do. Some people are always looking for something else to do. Oh, I think I'm called over here, or I think I'm called over there, or I think I need to do this, or wouldn't it be great to do that? Well, what about the thing that is right at your doorstep right now? Are you willing to serve there? Are you willing to be a servant for the Lord where you are? And just continue to prove yourself and to wait upon your next assignment. When I was in Bible college, I've told this story before, but for the sake of those who might not have heard it, one of the chapel speakers, Bernard Bancroft, came one Sunday during chapel, and we find that Bernard was a missionary to the Philippines. He'd been a lifelong missionary there in the Philippine Islands, and he served the Lord faithfully. And he said, some of you young pastors are going to be wondering what your calling is and how you are to fulfill that calling. He said, but I would like to tell you to serve where you are until the Lord gives you another assignment. Don't consider the calling that you have right now as final. Remember that God can use you wherever he wants to place you. And Bernard says, I've served the Lord in the Philippines for many years, but now the Lord has placed me here teaching missions in this Bible college. And it's now my new assignment. And so when we look at God's calling of us and our servanthood in the sense of going and serving someplace, he says, remember, God gives you new assignments. Just listen to the heart of God and allow him to assign your next role of service. And if you do, you won't be lacking opportunities to serve him. He says in verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. One of the things that is most important, it appears, that we know the love of God in our hearts. And if we know the love of God, then we can realize the true heart of one who is a servant. They do not serve the Lord out of remuneration. When I came to the ministry many years ago, I didn't know where I would be serving, but the Lord called me to a little church, and so I went. The Lord didn't tell me what kind of income I would be having. But it didn't matter. Whatever the Lord provided was what I was willing to accept. And that is the true sense of a servant. In other words, we are willing to serve the Lord out of love and for a true sense of servanthood just because God has said, I want you to serve here. I want you to serve there. In other words, we don't put preconditions upon the servanthood in which God sends us to do. We just make ourselves available. And God will take care of the rest. And so he spoke about this sense of the love of those who knew that he was set for the defense of the gospel. And that is a great sense of knowing what true servanthood is all about. Verse 18, what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. We could spend a lot of time complaining about other people and how they do things. But the one thing we need to take most rejoicing in is that the gospel is being preached. Others may go about it differently than what we do. And we may not agree with everything that everybody else does as they serve the Lord. But this one thing we should rejoice in, that the gospel is being preached. And to know that God is able to work in the hearts and lives of those who serve him. And if they are serving him rightly, honestly, sincerely, in truth, then he will accomplish his purposes through that person. If not, then it will come to nothing anyway, and we need not worry about it. But let us then praise God for those who are serving him. Let us praise God for those who are preaching Christ. Let us praise God, even if they are suffering for Christ, for they have been called to it for a reason. Let us praise God and realize that even the trials and the things which we experience ought to be working together for good to the furtherance of the gospel. And so we can look back upon what God has allowed and is allowing and say, Lord, it's okay, because you have led me thus far by faith. And I know this is where you want me to be, and I'm willing to serve as long as you want me to serve in this place. And so that we might have as good an attitude as we possibly can have concerning the ministry of preaching Christ to others. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you that we can serve you wherever you place us, in whatever situation, as long as our hearts are set for the defense of the gospel and for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, and that we consider ourselves in bonds to our Savior as a servant and serving that we may glorify your name. And so we give thanks to you and praise to you, our Father, and ask for your blessing to be upon the work which you establish, that it may be in Jesus' name and to the glory of God. Amen.